The one ding on the resume, if it's a ding, it's just a scheduling quirk, if nothing else, is that they've only been on the road one time. And that's at FedEx Forum to play the Tigers. Tonight will be just their second road game of the season. Now, I don't think it'll be anything too challenging for them in the sense that, well, this is why you need to play more non-league road games because you don't want to get caught in league play. Like, if they lose tonight, it would just be because sometimes teams lose road games to good teams, and Missouri is a decent team. But it is interesting that they put together this incredible resume, and they're just on the road in a true road game for the second time tonight. 7.5-point favorite. The total is 139. Tip's going to be at 6 o'clock, and you can watch that one on ESPN2 if you want. Jeff Calkins is up next.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com station. Home of the Gary Parish Show. Weekdays 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right. Now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your GuySmart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut. We cut the weight.
It all starts with just one thing. This year, resolve to use your car less. You can carpool to work a few days a week, use public transportation like buses and trains, and walk any distance under a mile. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hey, Mid-South, this is Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. Don't wait till the bugs invade. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852. Or check us out on the web at inman-murphy.com for the best prices of the season.
If you thought attending college while holding down a job was out of the question, CBU's College of Adult Professional Studies can help you make it work. We offer flexible 8-week courses to fit your busy work schedule and budget. And CBU has options to count work experience toward your degree, which saves you money. Contact us today at 901-321-3291 or visit cbu.edu/CAPS. That's cbu.edu/CAPS or 901-321-3291. Work on your degree while you work.
What if football didn't have to end? Saturday, February 16th, it doesn't. Your Memphis Express take on the Arizona Hotshots at Liberty Bowl Stadium. Professional football returns to the city of Memphis with Hall of Famer Mike Singletary as head coach of the Memphis Express. The inaugural season kicks off on Saturday, February 16th. Tickets starting at just $20 at AAF.com or at Ticketmaster.com. The Alliance of American Football is here. Real football doesn't end in Memphis this spring. Go to AAF.com for details.
Any message rate supply national contest.
It's time for another new money in the new year appointment.
Every hour from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. weekdays on 92.9 FM ESPN and right now.
Blender is the code word. Text Blender, B-L-E-N-D-E-R to 72881. You've got 57 minutes to do it. You can win $1,000 if you win it. All right, so get your shot right now. Text the word Blender, B-L-E-N-D-E-R to 72881 and get your shot at $1,000. Text Blender to 72881. Good luck. Another code word coming up at 6 o'clock after the Gary Parish Show.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
It's 5:03, Gary Parish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN, and every day around this time, I'm joined by your award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, and host of the Jeff Calkins Show. It's Jeff Calkins. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm good.
So what was your favorite memory of the time when Nick Saban was universally recognized as the king of college football? Because Dan Wolkin took his crown via USA Today and put it straight on Dabo's head.
Yeah. I remember there was that one year when they crushed everybody and then they lost to Clemson at the very last. That was a good year. And then the year before that, when they won the national championship, and then they won another national championship. And like, that's silly. We talked about this morning. To be a king, you know, I think there's two kings. I think it's pretty clearly two kings right now, right? There's just like, to me, it's just like when you had McEnroe and Borg, or when you had the Celtics and the Lakers. Sometimes the Lakers would win, and sometimes the Celtics would win. That's what you have now. You have two great teams. I don't know who was king. I guess they're king because they won last night, right? But and I guess right now, because of Trevor Lawrence and those wide receivers, I'll take them next year. But honestly, like, it won't stun me if Alabama wins the national championship next year at all. Like, Tua had two bad throws last night, and that wasn't good. Like, I mean, there's no question. But, it won't shock me in the slightest if Alabama wins the national championship next year.
No, that's the thing. I think if we played that game again tonight, the same team might win, but I don't think it would feel quite as overwhelming as last night felt.
That's what she said.
It starts with Tua on the opening possession, throwing a pick six, and then, you know, I'm sure Nick would like to have some of those calls back where, you know, he starts to feel like maybe the game's slipping away. So on the opening possession of the third quarter, they do this disastrous fake field goal. Like, I just think if we lined it up and played it again tonight, it would not go that way.
I wonder, right, if you lined it up and played it again tonight, I do think Clemson would be favored, right?
Yes.
By what? By four?
Yeah, it wouldn't be significant. That's the thing.
It would not be significant. I mean, there's a play where the cornerback falls down and, you know, whatever. We got an injury report on him, but, like that wasn't. So I just don't, like, I don't think there's a big separation between the two teams. And they clearly won last night, and they won by a big margin. You know, Nick Saban never lost by more than 14 points at Alabama. So I'm not discounting what they did. They were magnificent. I think it has been revealed, like, we know now more. Their defensive backfield against those wide receivers from Clemson, that's a hell of a matchup for Clemson. And that they would have that matchup advantage going in tonight as well if they played again. But, yeah, it might be a four-point game or something like that. And next year, whatever. Like, Clemson's going to lose most of their defensive line. Who knows? So now I think the advantage that Clemson has, honestly, is they just have to deal with the ACC. And Alabama, while they made a mockery of the SEC this year, like, in the end, Texas A&M's getting better. LSU actually seems to be getting better. Georgia's certainly getting better. It's harder for Alabama to get back there than it is for Clemson to get back there. It almost seems, you know, it does feel like they're going to be in the playoffs next year. I mean, that does feel like it. If I was to bet on one thing in college football next year, it would be that Clemson will be in the playoff. I would think that would be true.
Right, because to your point, like, I'm just looking at Dennis Dodge way too early, top 25 over at CBS Sports, and he has Clemson number one, predictably. Alabama number two makes sense to me. But then number three is Georgia. Number four is LSU. Number eight is Florida. Number 13 is Texas A&M. So that is, in addition to Alabama, 1, 2, 3, 4 teams. So a total of 5, but 4 in addition to Alabama in the top 15, whereas in the ACC, there is nothing. My God, Virginia Tech at number 24
right.
is the only other ACC team in Dennis Dodd's top 25. So that's the thing. If you promise me Alabama-Clemson going to play again next January for the title, I could maybe talk myself into Alabama winning the game, but Alabama's got to get there first, and that's much more difficult for them than it is for Clemson. Nothing to do with ability, just has to do with your league affiliation.
Yeah, not only is Clemson rolling, and not only is it a lesser league generally, it's a lesser league at a time when Florida State is down, and right. Let's be honest, even I love Justin Fuente, but Virginia Tech's a little down too. And so, North Carolina's rebuilding and whatnot. That league is not particularly strong right now. And so it feels like it's hard to believe, imagine that Clemson won't be back there next year. I found the game, like, it was a blowout. There's no question it was a blowout. It was compelling because it was Alabama getting blown out, right? If it had been the other way around, I wouldn't have stayed and watched it to the end. I would have flipped it off. I would have said, I've seen Alabama beat teams before. I don't need to watch this anymore, you know? But because it was this thing happening to Alabama and Nick Saban, I stayed and watched it straight through the end. So I still did. It was certainly not USC-Texas. It wasn't like last year's championship game or whatever else. But it was still compelling to watch just because it was sort of jaw-dropping to see that happen to a Nick Saban coach team.
It was lopsided, but still interesting. Like, I'm obviously here in New York. I went to – there's a nice little bar like 10 steps outside of my hotel. So I went there and watched the game. And I never got bored, even though the game was lopsided, because it in some ways, the last game of the college football season was just like the first night of the college basketball season, in the sense that we see this massive power just get completely overwhelmed. In basketball, it was Duke beating Kentucky by 34 points. That was compelling. It will go down as one of the more memorable games of the season, even though it wasn't competitive, because it's like, my God, John Calipari's down 30 points to anybody? Like, that's a team that was ranked number 2 in the country at the time. And they're down 30? Lose by 34? And then last night, same deal. The reason it was compelling is because it was actually us watching something that we had never seen before. And that's Nick Saban getting completely overwhelmed, his team getting completely overwhelmed for the first time since he built Alabama into a national power once again. Like, obviously, early on, when he, you know, that first year, there might have been something like this. But once he got it back up to where Alabama has been, we watched them lose, but we've never seen them get beat like this. And then you had, you know, a future number one overall pick throwing balls and a insane freshman receiver catching everything. Right.
Catches. It's ridiculous. I mean, it was...
Like, when you've got Jerry Rice
out there, it was ridiculous.
No, you've got, like, NFL players chiming in about these college players and like, almost amazed by them, which I thought was interesting. Like, you know, these are professional football players, Hall of Famers in some cases, and blown away by Trevor Lawrence and Justin Ross. And, you know, that when I thought that was telling. Like, when NFL players who probably hadn't watched Clemson's ACC schedule, but they flip this on and they go, my God, this quarterback and this receiver or something, it really does underline why Clemson's the favorite to win the national title again next season.
Yeah, no, it was – yeah, in that way, Trevor Lawrence played the role of Zion Williamson. In the example that you're using, yes, we're watching something we've never seen before. This coach get his butt kicked, and we're watching some transcendent stars. And I say this: like, Trevor Lawrence has had a great year once he was inserted in the starting lineup, but it felt like a coming out party for him in the same way, because not that many, the whole country hadn't seen him, right? The whole country hadn't seen that, and so no, I found it entertaining to watch, and it wouldn't be entertaining to watch next year, but it was entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Just because we watch college football every weekend, there are a lot of sports fans who just don't. Like, they only watch the national championship game. Like, I was in a group text yesterday with my buddy Jeff Borzello from ESPN, and he was like, I haven't watched a college football game that wasn't the national championship game since I was in college. That's what he said. But he'll watch last night. And perhaps that's not normal, but it means that people like him do exist. And for those people, I'm sure they knew Clemson was good. I'm sure they knew Clemson maybe knew had a quarterback who's a legit NFL prospect, but they never watched him. And so on that stage, yes, that was the coming out party for Trevor Lawrence. And I think in some ways the coming out party for Clemson. Clemson's been consistently good for a while now, but I don't know that we've ever woke up the day after the season ended and said Clemson might be the best program in college football right now. Because even when they won the championship with Deshaun Watson, a lot of people just thought, well, that's a Deshaun Watson. Just like that's a who was the legendary Texas quarterback? Vince Young.
Okay,
Texas won that, did that because of Vince Young, and Clemson did that because of Deshaun Watson, and Auburn did that because of Cam Newton, but then they'll get back to being still good, but not the best. People woke up today and are identifying Clemson as the best college football program in America, and perhaps for the first time ever.
Plus, Trevor Lawrence is a cool-looking dude, isn't he? What do you think of that? The hair and the whole thing?
I don't love it. Like,
No, I don't mean cool. You've seen every single picture of him, like, with a Saluki dog, you know? he looks exactly – but it's different. I don't mean cool, and, like, that's not what I would do, very clearly.
But, like, he's his own person. Like, it's his own thing. You don't confuse him with anyone else, or, you know. He is an individual. He's a 6'5 dude with this long hair. He's certainly – and we get to – this is not a good system. But we do get to watch him for at least two more years in college football.
Right. I mean, that's the other thing, that it's great for college football. I hate the system.
If you put
me in charge of the system, I change it, you know, tonight.
I would do it instantly. Right. Yep.
But that he can't enter the NFL draft until after his third year of college. So you've got this guy who, you know, all the NFL draft analysts, Mel Kiper and
Said he'd go number one in any draft that he'll be in, you know.
Yeah, like including this one, and now he has to play this sport. I know he doesn't have to, but essentially he's going to. He has to spend two more years playing this violent sport for no salary, when quite clearly the best draft analysts in the country all believe he is worth millions of dollars and would be handed millions of dollars right now if you just allow him to do it.
It's insanity. It's total insanity. And as I sort of said before, in the NFL, there's not even that much risk. Like, you could have, whatever, make them go to college for 1 year, or don't make them go to college at all. The NFL ain't drafted people at high school, because it's a different – so much of this is physical development that, yes, Trevor Lawrence would go early. Some running backs would go early after maybe 1 year or something, but it wouldn't actually be – we would not have the revolving door in football quite like we have in basketball, because football is just different. And so there would be less risk if you could go sooner. But that's the way they've done it. And people like, you know, are all about, well, we should have a lawsuit. We've had the lawsuit. Maurice Claret lost the lawsuit. Like, we've had this lawsuit. You're allowed, through collective bargaining, and that's what's happened. It's a collective bargaining decision between the Players Association and the league to – do this, and you couldn't otherwise because of the antitrust violation and everything else, but you can in this circumstances because that's what's been collectively bargained. And so until there's a new collective bargaining agreement, and if any, you know, makes that argument, you're going to have a situation where you got to stay 3 years after high school.
And that's what makes it so different than college basketball. For instance, if what happened in last season's national championship game happened – in college basketball, like the Tua Tagovailoa thing, he would have then entered the draft. Like, he would have been gone. We'd have never had him again. He would not have played football this season. Similarly, Trevor Lawrence would enter this draft. Even if he loves Clemson, there would just be too many people telling him, you're the number one pick, you have to go. You cannot come back to school. It's too much money involved. And so we wouldn't get him next season. And yet, because of the system in place that we both hate, but undeniably it's good for the sport of college football, because you have, two quarterback stars coming back for the number one and number two teams in the country next season, two guys that everybody who watches the sport is familiar with. One, because he's been Alabama's starting quarterback all season long, and Alabama's the biggest still topic of conversation in the sport, even if right now it's not the best team in the sport. And then the other one, yes, that's the long-haired kid who's awesome for Clemson. You know, the long-haired kid, that hair does become a part of your identity. Like Noah Syndergaard, you know, he's a baseball player, so it's all relative. You can only be so famous these days as a baseball player. But he wouldn't be nearly as famous as he is if not for the long hair. Like, if you ask Oliver, my 5-year-old, who his favorite player is, it's Noah Syndergaard. It's Thor. But it's because of the hair. It's because he looks like a superhero, as opposed to just a short-haired pitcher who throws really hard. And so whether Trevor Lawrence wants to or not, I think it's probably wise, just from a image perspective and a possible marketing perspective. Like, that hair is now a part of his story. Just like Adam Morrison's hair and mustache, once upon a time, were a part of his story. I think you got to hold on to it now, right?
I think, yes. I think you got to hold on to it. Forever, though? But is that probably, like, he's not going to end his NFL career with that hair.
What if he's like 38 years old with that hair?
Graying, long hair. Yeah, no, he's not going to end his NFL career with that hair. But anyway, yeah.
Talking to Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I want to switch gears to the Memphis Grizzlies. They lost again last night, so they're like 2-10 last 12 games. They're on a six-game losing streak. They're now 18-22 overall. And when you look at the schedule, and I know you have, like, when are they going to win again? Because I don't know when they're going to be favored again, and obviously you don't have to be favored to win the game. NBA teams win games they're not supposed to win all the time. Not really the Grizzlies lately, but it does happen for other NBA teams. This, and I think we all know that it spiraled the wrong direction, but like it not only can it get worse, it's probably going to get a lot worse.
Yeah, I heard you talking about this earlier. I think you're right. The MLK game is one they'll be favored again. It was interesting. I went to practice today. We originally got a notification that there would be no practice today. And then we got a notification saying that there was going to be practice today. And they talked to Mike and Mark and JB and whatnot. And basically, the team decided, it was fairly probably, obviously, that they needed it. Here's the truth. So they've had these things go wrong. They've had players traded who weren't traded. They've had the Chandler Parsons thing. They've had all of this mess. They've been losing, whatever. They acquired a player, and they just decided to have this. They needed to have this practice to sort of regroup. One of the things that both Mark and Mike said is, and I actually do think this is true, like, so why, there's a lot of reasons why they were, why were they so much better at the start of the year than now, right? Like, why? Why is that? Well, one of the big reasons is because Mark isn't playing. Probably the biggest reason is both on both ends of the floor, Mark is not playing as well as he was at the beginning of the year when he was playing really peak Mark, and now he's as bad as we've ever seen Mark on both ends of the floor. I think that's probably the biggest reason. But listen, the Chandler Parsons thing has nothing to do with it. Like, he wasn't playing early when they were winning a lot of games. He didn't play. Like, that has nothing to do with it. So why? And it was sort of interesting. They both did say, now when we get down, we just buckle. That so much of this is confidence and all that resilience and all that stuff, right? Now it feels helpless, and it's true. Like, I was watching the football game last night. I was just loosely keeping track of the basketball game last night. And they were up by 5 in the third quarter, and then New Orleans goes on a run, and you just assume they're done. Like, now you just, they go down out of here, assume they cooked. I just assume they were going to lose that game going into the game, I'll be honest. I'm to that point with them. And so it'll be interesting. They think they can reset and pick themselves up off the floor. I'm dubious about it, but that was the mood today. The other interesting thing that was said today is I did ask JB, because one of the things that we've talked about and one of the things that we've talked about with the Chandler thing is whether whether the decision to not activate Chandler suggests a lack of trust in JB. Because if you thought he was going to activate him and play him, you very clearly don't trust his judgment, and you're not giving him that. And so I asked JB if there was any schism or strain or his relationship with management. And he said, well, I mean, as expected, he'd say no.
Of course.
But he didn't lie about it. He said, we're not going to agree. We're going to disagree on things. You know, we're not going to agree on everything. We're going to disagree, and after we disagree, then we're going to move on, and we're going to be on the same page, you have to, like, you can't just be resentful for like that, basically. And he sort of, I mean, not that there's any surprise, because you said it yesterday and we said it before, but he made it abundantly clear that there was a disagreement here. You know, he didn't shy. He didn't say, I don't want to talk about it, whatever. He said, listen, we're not always going to agree on stuff. We'll disagree, it'll be settled, and then we'll move on. And I thought that was a good, honest answer, right? I mean, I think that's exactly right. Like, I think they did disagree on this. They very clearly did. But Chandler Parsons wasn't the problem with this team a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and he's not now. He's a sort of entertaining distraction for all of us, but it's not really the issue. You know, the issue has to do with a lot of other things other than Chandler Parsons. And so that was sort of the other interesting thing that emerged from the media session today.
Let me ask you this, and perhaps the question is just no. The answer is just no. I don't think that a coach should have much say in personnel moves, like who you sign in free agency, who you draft. Like, let the coach coach the team, let the front office you know, assemble the roster. But when you've already got somebody on the roster and he's working out every day, or however often Chandler was working out, and the coach, who theoretically should know his roster better than anybody else once you hand him the roster, if the coach is telling you, I think this guy can help us, do you have to take that into consideration, or is it wrong not to?
I mean, well, we could relitigate this again. I don't know. When the guy is subtweeting you, when the player has proven over and over again that he's not reliable, and when the last time, I mean, let's be honest. I think this is what happened. Like, JB likes Chandler Parsons and believes in Chandler Parsons. JB thought he was a four, right? JB, I'm sorry, three. He rolls him out there for the opening game as a three, and he gets absolutely lit up, right? Mm-hmm. And then within two games, he's hurt. I think management, it's like the movie where the Oakland A's manager trades the guy because he doesn't want management to be able to play him anymore, right? Like, what the hell is that movie?
Moneyball?
Yeah, Moneyball. It's like the Moneyball movie, where his manager's like, we got a stupid manager here, I'm going to... And that's the problem. There's a lack of trust. They're like, no, we don't want you to play Chandler Parsons. We know you love Chandler Parsons. We don't want you to play him. And I don't know, like, well, that's very clearly what happened, right? I mean, that is very clearly what happened. And it all got very complicated and whatever. We sort of talked about this yesterday. I can make an argument for having, let him... for sticking them in there or not. Whatever. I mean, I guess my point is the ship has sailed on Chandler Parsons.
Right.
And so now the question is, what do you do going forward? And we know what. I mean, everyone's like, last night it was like, blow it up, blow it up, blow it up. I took calls today. Literally every call is, blow it up, blow it up, blow it up. And we don't have time to get into it today, but the question is, what does that mean? Where does that take you? Who does it involve? When does it happen? Does it mean fire Chris Wallace today? Does it mean you can't fire J.B. Bickerstaff and not fire Chris Wallace? I don't think. Does it mean trade Marc Gasol, even though they're really, like, doesn't appear to be any trade market for Marc Gasol? Does it mean trade Mike Conley? Does it mean see how things go between now and the trade deadline? How does the first-round pick that you owe Boston factor into it? Like, we're going to have a lot of time to discuss all that, and it's this emotional blow-up, which I'm sympathetic to. Like, I don't need to see this anymore. I don't need to see this organization like this anymore, this team like this anymore. But there's still a question as to what is the best path forward, and that's not just based on emotion.
And I don't know that it's obvious, and I don't know that there's a good option, which is
that's the problem. To me, the problem is, to me, the best option is to... The best option, I still think you want to, we've talked about this, but this year the pick is top 8 protected, next year it's top 6 protected, the next year, 2021, it's unprotected. That is the year when it may be the best NBA draft in a decade, because it's likely that that's the year when high school players will be able to go directly into the NBA. And so you'll have a year where all the best freshmen are going into the NBA, plus all the best high school players are going into the NBA. And so you don't want to be giving up your first round pick that year. You'd like to convey it this year. The problem right now is I really think the best course is right now they're tied for ninth from the bottom, right? Ninth, I'm looking at the standings upside down now. They're tied for ninth from the bottom. You would like to finish ninth from the bottom. That's my goal for the season. My goal for the season is to finish ninth to the bottom, because that way you go into the lottery. Well, if lottery night will roll around, lottery's now the top four picks. If you get lucky and go into the top four, well, then you're fine. Then you say, I'll take one of the top four picks in this draft. I got lucky. That'll be a good player. If you're not, you convey the pick to Boston. It's kind of too bad that literally the best course is a course that could result you having a crappy year and no first-round pick. But I think that, I mean, that is, like, even last year when we were rooting for the tank, you're rooting for the tank because at the end you get a Jaren Jackson out of it. And I understand something's worn down with that, but at least there's a reward. Here, literally, the best thing that can happen is they finish ninth and not get a first round. Like, what an unhappy situation that is, that that's where we find ourselves. The best thing that can happen to them this year, I think, is for them to finish out of the playoffs and not have a first-round pick. That's the best thing.
Yuck. Yuck.
I mean, isn't that too bad? Like, that isn't that the best thing? Wouldn't that be the best thing?
Well, isn't the best thing still make the playoffs?
Oh, yeah, but that can't happen. Are you really believe that can happen?
No, I think it's unlikely. No. I don't think it's impossible. I don't think it's impossible. Right. But I do think it's unlikely.
Right. I'm with you. Yeah, the best thing would be to make the playoffs. No question. The best thing would be to make the playoffs. But I think the best thing that I'm actually feel like I have a reason to hope for is the scenario that I just played out, which is depressing.
Yeah, it was just fun when we could watch each game and then discuss where they are in the playoff race and, you know, how closer they are to a number that they will probably need to hit and what are the projections now showing. And it was all heading the right direction for a while, and then now it's not heading the right direction anymore, and it doesn't appear that it's going to take a U-turn anytime soon. But we'll see. Spurs are in town tomorrow night. Jeff Coggins, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you, man.
All right, we'll be back in a second.
You know it. New money, new year. We're the Money Trio. Coming up at 6 p.m. We are all for that cash. New money, new year. Get the code weekdays at the top of the hour from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Text that code to 72881. Data message rate supply national contest. And you could get paid a grand. New money in the new year. You know where the dollar's at the top of every hour weekdays, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
At this point, the success stories attached to Josh Hysaw are so numerous, I couldn't possibly go through all of them. But I do go through some of them from time to time. And one of those success stories belongs to a woman named Karen. She had a home out in East Memphis. She listed it with Josh Hysaw. And then he went to work, got her 58 showings, multiple offers. That home sold for more than the asking price very quickly. How did Josh do it? He did it with his 45-day guarantee. It's a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. The first step is Josh helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive to buyers. You guys agree on a price, then Josh goes to work. And then if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed-upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. You pick. Totally up to you. And it's a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh doesn't obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, you can fire him. No questions asked. Even if your opinion doesn't make sense, you can fire him via text message if you want to. Understand, the average agent in the Memphis market struggles to sell even 6 homes a year. Josh sold more than 200 last year. He's outselling the average agent 34-1. So if you're trying to sell a home, call the only agent I would call if I needed to sell my home, Josh Hysaw, 461-8147. Go check him out online, joshsellsthemidsouth.com.
New year, new ways to save on wellness. Visit Kroger.com/wellnessyourway and save over $75 on vitamins, pain relievers, cold and flu remedies, and more.
How your teeth look can affect how you feel about yourself, and with today's advancements in dentistry, it's easy to change that appearance in just a few simple visits. Yes, you really can get a wider smile in less than 2 hours, and you won't ever dread going to the dentist anymore. Not after you check out the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby in the Forum Building. The Smile Center, it is central to everything, and it's also comfortable and convenient. And this is Gary Parrish telling you, I'm speaking from experience. This is where my family goes. It's where your family should go. So if you're looking for a dentist, or if your dentist doesn't even know your name, call Dr. Mady Sadeghi. He and his staff, they make it really easy to take care of your smile, whether you're in need of a routine cleaning or something more cosmetic. That's the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby. You can get more information at SmileCenterMemphis.com. That's SmileCenterMemphis.com, or call today to make an appointment. 309-1333, 309-1333. It's the Smile Center, taking comfort to a whole new level.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Memphis attorneys, a partner men can count on. 901-362-3666. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Cordell & Cordell, 6000 Poplar Avenue, Suite 225, Memphis, Tennessee, 38119.
Baby, it's cold outside. Gibson Propane is here to make sure you stay warm. Gibson Propane is offering huge savings for all customers as well as deep discounts if you own your own propane tank. Sign up with Gibson Propane and fill your propane tank today to take advantage of this hot propane deal. Count on us for all your propane needs, including forklifts, dispensers, and temp heat for construction. Call our location in Memphis at 901-363-0101 or 1-800-AmeriGas to find the location nearest to you. Don't be left out in the cold this winter. Call Gibson Propane today.
I used to leave voicemails for myself because the only one I could trust to get something done right was me.
Hey, you, it's me. Remember to order safety goggles and grab some milk on your way home.
But now I use Grainger. Grainger's got the technical support you'd expect from America's number one source for industrial-grade supplies. They're in the business of helping my business. So no more talking to myself. Now I talk to Grainger. Because when it comes to keeping your business running, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone. At USPS.com/future.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show. Live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Step my money fast and go fast, fast, go. Fast like a Lambo. I be jumping off the stage. Crowd better save
her. 5:36. Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. If you missed the big NFL news of the day, Arizona Cardinals have made it official. They hired former Texas Tech coach Cliff Kingsbury about a month after Kingsbury was fired as the head coach at Texas Tech. And so obviously this is getting a lot of attention, and there are some people who do not understand the hire. I won't pretend, and I told you this in the first hour, to know whether Cliff Kingsbury is going to be successful or not in the NFL. Most NFL hires end up not working out, just like most NBA hires end up not working out. But the fact that he lost more than he won at Texas Tech, I really don't think has much to do with whether he's going to be successful in the NFL. We recognize this, as I said earlier, when it comes to basketball, just in the opposite direction. We don't take bad college coaches or unsuccessful college coaches and make them NBA coaches, but we do take successful NBA coaches and make them college coaches all the time. Guys who didn't win enough to keep their NBA jobs, they get college basketball jobs all the time. You know, right now, you look around the world of college basketball. There's John Calipari, unsuccessful NBA coach, a very successful college coach. Rick Pitino, good times as an NBA coach, bad times as an NBA coach, great times as a college coach. Eric Musselman, got fired in the NBA. He's got a top 15 team at Nevada right now. Lon Kruger, fired in the NBA. He's been to a Final Four in college. Avery Johnson, I believe, fired in the NBA. Mm-hmm. He had some good times and bad times. He was a NBA coach of the year once upon a time, but doing well at Alabama, just beat Kentucky this past weekend. And the point I made is that if we recognize that just because somebody's unsuccessful in the NBA doesn't mean that they wouldn't be incredibly successful in college basketball, because it's just a different job altogether. It's the same sport, but it's a different game and a vastly different job. If we recognize that's true, why can't we apply the same logic to exactly what happened here with Cliff Kingsbury? It is true that he lost more than he won and in 6 years at Texas Tech, but how many people wouldn't do that?
Right.
Mike Leach, obviously, but he's also winning at Washington State. That guy's just an amazing football coach. Mm-hmm. But most people would lose at Texas Tech. It's a bottom tier, a Big 12 job. One of the worst Big 12 jobs. And it also involves recruiting. There's so much more to it than there is coaching in the NFL, where all you do is coach your team. You develop your talent, you coach your team. And, you know, regardless of what you think of Cliff Kingsbury and what he did at Texas Tech, he is widely recognized in the sport of being an amazing offensive mind, of having a unique ability to run an offense, to create an offense that moves the ball and scores points. And NFL franchises seem to want that these days more than ever. And so if you identify Cliff Kingsbury as somebody who has this desirable skill set, why wouldn't you be interested in him as a head coach? And this isn't some deal where the Arizona Cardinals were the only franchise interested in him. There were other franchises interested for the exact same reason. Why? There's this creative football mind who is available. Let's take a look. And the fact that he lost more than he won at Texas Tech has nothing to do with whether he'll be successful or not in the NFL. I mean, if you wanted me to bet one way or another, I guess I'd bet against it just because I think that's probably the smart way to bet on just about everybody. Like, again, more NFL coaches fail than succeed. But I actually like the idea that the Arizona Cardinals are willing to look past a traditional way of thinking, which is you can't possibly hire a guy who just got fired in college to be an NFL head coach at the age of 39. Well, why not?
I like it.
The reasons that he failed at Texas Tech are going to end up being recruiting reasons or just like it's a hard job reasons. Right. And failed is probably an unfair way to put it. He didn't like fall on his face or show himself to be incompetent. He just didn't win enough to get a seventh year at Texas Tech. But if you believe that he can be a real difference maker on one side of the football, then the fact that he lost more than he won at Texas Tech, not that big of a deal. This is not the type of traditional hire that franchises make, but it could be just the kind of out-of-box thinking that maybe takes that franchise to a different level. We'll see. Be back with Dinner to Go.
An unreliable network can cost you money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast. And we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup, which means that even if something like construction knocks out the power, you can still upload that presentation and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for EcoBill and automatic payment. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond other providers. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offerings 131-19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Recruitment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection pro backup limited up to 6 hours. Requires Comcast Business Internet. Offer price requires eco bill pay for this billing and auto pay through Comcast Business My Account.
Whether it's football, basketball, baseball, golf, or real estate, having the winning coach makes all the difference in your success. This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Mark Spensdorf Realtors, and I'm with Coach Terry Tippett, winner of 6 state basketball championships. Coach, what's been the secret to your and your team's successes?
Sheldon, there's no one secret. It becomes a pattern of success after coaching for so many years and learning the ins and outs of the game and the players, a lot like the pattern of your success in selling homes.
Thanks, Coach. Like you and your program, I developed my highly successful strategic marketing program with the Shell Bucks option, and I also try to use it in my golf game.
Sheldon, tried is the optimum word. You better stick to selling homes, as you're always hitting holes in one at that instead of double bogeys.
Thanks a lot. And if anyone is thinking of selling their home, make sure and talk to 2 to 3 coaches. I mean real estate brokers. Let me be one of them. You can reach me at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. That's 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com and be a winner.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. One of the most common and life-altering injuries that we see after a car crash is a herniated disc. Often it causes a lifetime of care, injections, and surgeries. A life where the most simple enjoyments become painful struggles. But insurance companies often refuse to pay for these injuries. They say disc herniation is no big deal, but we know the truth. We know how life-altering a disc herniation can be. We've won millions of dollars for clients with disc herniation because we know how devastating these injuries really are. If you have a herniated disc after a car crash, call us. You can reach us by dialing Pound Law on your cell phone. That's Pound 529. Pound Law, that's all. It's easy to remember and even easier to get in touch with us. If you're injured in a car crash or at work, call us. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com.
Today, the demand for data analytics professionals is high. The computer and IT sector is projected to grow 12% through 2024. That's nearly 500,000 new jobs. If you're a degreed professional interested in advancing your career in technology, you should check out CBU's data analytics-focused Master of Science in Computer Information Systems or our data analytics graduate certificate. Learn more about these tech-focused programs at our graduate info session on February 5th on the campus of Christian Brothers University in Midtown, Memphis. Register today at cbu.edu/graduate. That's cbu.edu/graduate.
New year, new ways to save on wellness. Visit Kroger.com/wellnessyourway and save over $75 on vitamins, pain relievers, cold and flu remedies, and more.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Off top, get guap. The hood got heavy metal like Slipknot. I hustle from a chain like a pit stop. I used to want a grip brain to my wrist lock. Now I want a BMW i3. It's little buddies on point like Kyrie. My mama taught me never let a sucker try me.
Got a pretty busy college basketball schedule tonight. Games getting started right at 6 o'clock Central. Number one, Duke is on the road at Wake Forest. Number three, Tennessee is on the road at Missouri. Kentucky trying to avoid a two-game losing streak. They're hosting Texas A&M at Rupp Arena. St. John's, which is nationally ranked 24th in the country, at Villanova. Oklahoma is at Texas Tech. The big one, probably, North Carolina at NC State. That's going to tip at 8 o'clock Central. It's on ESPN. I'll be in studio all night here in New York with CBS Sports Network. So if you're bored, completely out of your mind, you can turn that on. I plan on wearing a blue suit. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is presented by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop, a Folks Folly original.
It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff about the Grizzlies, about Rick Barnes Vols, about Cliff Kingsbury, so on and so forth. But we mostly focused on last night's national championship game. It was a total beatdown. Surprisingly, a total beatdown. Clemson handled Alabama. No issues whatsoever. 44-16 final score. Held the Crimson Tide to 0 points in the second half. They intercepted Tua Tagovailoa twice. Just overwhelmed the Crimson Tide in a way that had never really happened since Nick Saban had returned Alabama to a national. Or Alabama has lost before, obviously. We've seen that. But not lost in this kind of way. Clemson's Trevor Lawrence, 20 of 32 passing, 347 yards, three touchdowns. Justin Ross caught six balls, 153 yards, and a touchdown. Both those guys are freshmen. And so no surprise, Clemson's got a bright, bright future. All of those very early preseason top 25s have come out today, whether you're looking at Stuart Mandel's at The Athletic or Dennis Dodds at CBSSports.com. They all start with Clemson right there at the top. And those two guys, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Ross, are the biggest reasons. A lot of takeaways from last night. We've talked about it from a variety of angles. But I did think that a note that Dan Wolkin made during the game, and then something Joel Klatt further explained after the game, played a big role in what we saw last night. And that's that over the last four seasons, Alabama has lost 13 assistant coaches, and Clemson's only lost two. Alabama's had four different coordinator combos in the last 4 years. Clemson has had the same each of the past 4 years. And I do think eventually that catches up to you. First, because you're rotating guys in and out of the building nonstop. But secondly, like, you're not going to hit on every hire. And I know that Mike Locksley, the offensive coordinator at Alabama, had a good season. But he didn't have a good night last night. And Dan Wolkin pointed out that, you know, there had been whispers among other coaching staffs all season, even while Alabama was mostly cruising, about Nick Saban's staff. Like, was this caliber of staff as good as some of the other staffs, and would it ultimately catch up to him? And I think the answer is no to the first question. Is this caliber staff as good as some of the others he's had, and will it ultimately catch up with him? I think yes. In some ways, it seemed to last night. You know, maybe it's as simple as, you know, Clemson, Trevor Lawrence had a great night. Alabama's quarterback didn't. Clemson had an otherworldly receiver catching everything. Alabama didn't. And maybe that's the biggest reason why what happened last night happened. But I do think, you know, staff turnover is a real thing that affects college football programs and college basketball programs. And it's something that Mike Norvell might find challenging, you know, given the number of assistants that he loses year after year after year after year. It hasn't been an issue yet, but, you know, if it can catch up to Nick Saban at some point, then it could catch up to anybody at some point. We talked about this last week as it related to Greg Marshall at Wichita State. You know, Wichita State's not good right now, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but I do think one of the reasons is that, you know, in the past few years, he's lost Steve Forbes to East Tennessee State. He's lost Chris Jans, who's now the head coach at New Mexico State. He's lost Greg Hare, who's now, you know, on staff with Will Wade at LSU. And the Wichita State's recruiting has dipped a little bit. And I think you saw that inside FedEx Forum last week when the Tigers beat Wichita State. So listen, Alabama's problems are still smaller than most people's problems. I mentioned all those preseason top 25 rankings that came out today. Clemson's number one everywhere. Alabama's number two everywhere. So the projections are at least that we will watch these two teams play again next January for a national title. But it was pretty clear last night. One team was just significantly better than the other team. There was nothing fluky about what happened last night. The better team won, and the better team won convincingly. It was a not competitive football game, but a super impressive performance from Dabo's Clemson Tigers.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Well, I mentioned we've got a whole bunch of interesting college basketball games on the schedule tonight. Focus a little bit on one that I mentioned during Four Notable Stories at 444, and that's Tennessee-Missouri at Mizzou Arena in Columbia tonight. The Vols are 12-1 overall, 1-0 in the SEC, ranked number one in my CBS Sports Top 25 and one. They're number three in the AP poll. But they have absolutely mauled everybody that they played outside of the one loss, which is an overtime loss to Kansas. Grant Williams fouled out of that game. And, you know, then they were in a close game with Gonzaga. But the other 11 games they played are all against unranked teams, Memphis being one of them. And they beat those unranked opponents, each of them by double digits and by an average of 25.3 points. So the reason, and I get asked this almost every day, why do I have Tennessee number one? I think they deserve to be number one. They won't be my pick to win the national championship. I'm still going to go with Duke. But I think it's very reasonable to have Tennessee at the top, given that they've got a win over Gonzaga. The lone loss is an overtime loss to Kansas, which means they have zero losses in regulation. And they've handled their business against unranked opponents in a convincing way. Again, 11 unranked opponents they played. They've beaten all 11 by double digits and by an average of 25.3 points. If you're looking for something to ding them on, it will be that this is only going to be their second true road game. The first was against Memphis, and they handled that no problem. But they're on the road for the first time in the SEC and just for the second time in this entire season. So things could get interesting tonight at Missouri. They're a 7.5-point favorite. The total is 139. Tips at 6 o'clock. You can watch it on ESPN2.
What should I watch on TV?
Well, President Trump is speaking to the nation tonight, so you will either love that or hate that, depending on what side of the issue you fall on. But it's going to be on all the major networks, so it'll be almost impossible to avoid. It's going to be 8 o'clock again. I believe all the major networks are carrying it. If you're up late, Rami Malek's going to be on Jimmy Kimmel. That's Gold Globe winner Rami Malek. Andy Samberg is going to be on Jimmy Fallon. Keegan-Michael Key is going to be on Stephen Colbert. And Neil Patrick Harris is going to be on Seth Meyers.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
So I don't know if it's true, but sometimes people say that the majority of folks who eventually watch college basketball, they don't even start doing it until after the college football season is over. College football season ended last night, so I wrote a column today basically saying, hey, if you're just now starting to focus on college basketball, here's 10 things you need to know about this college basketball season so far. And obviously, because Kentucky is such a big topic of conversation in the sport, you got to at least have one item dedicated to them. Yeah. And I wrote about them. They're sitting here now at, I believe, 10-3, coming off of a loss to at Alabama. And, you know, they're good, but they're closer to good than great. And they were supposed to be great based on preseason expectations. So the question you start asking is, okay, why are they not as good as they were supposed to be? Why do they look like a team that, yeah, is going to be safely in the NCAA tournament, but probably nobody's picked to win a national championship or maybe even go to a Final Four? And one of the issues when I dug into it is how they're defending the three-point line. They're just not. Opponents are shooting 38.4% from three-point range against Kentucky so far this season. That ranks 329th nationally. And the three teams that have beaten the Wildcats, that's Duke, Seton Hall, and Alabama, have combined to go 33 of 75 from beyond the arc against them, which is 44%. That's a higher percentage than literally every other school in the country. All 353 currently allows its opponents to shoot from the three-point line. So that's a real issue that John Calipari and his staff have got to get fixed at Kentucky. I'll let them figure it out. But if they're going to, you know, compete at the top of the SEC with Tennessee and Auburn and Mississippi State, then they're going to have to figure that out, undeniably. You can read that if you want. It's at CBSSports.com.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Well, we'll get ready for Grizz Spurs, talk a lot of NBA in general. Jeff Calkins will join me just like he does every day at 5 o'clock. It should be fun. So enjoy your night. I'm going to enjoy mine. We're going to be back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful, be kind, be good. Rep your hood.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com station. Home of Golic and Wingo, weekdays 6 till 9 a.m. You know it. New money, new year. Coming up at 6 p.m., we are all for that cash. New money, new year. Get the code weekdays at the top of the hour from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Text that code to 72881. Data message rate supply national contest, and you could get paid a grand. New money in the new year. You know where the dollar's at the top of every hour weekdays, 92.9 FM ESPN. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the 2019 Cardinals Caravan. Free food, drinks, prizes, plus Cardinals players and alums. Join Brad Carson and 92.9 FM ESPN for free at AutoZone Park in downtown Memphis on Friday, January 18th. Doors open at 5:30 p.m.
With guest MC Ricky Horton, along with current Cardinals players Jordan Hicks, Austin Gomber, Tyler O'Neill, and Adolis Garcia. Cardinals alums like Stubby Clapp and Jason Mott.
More details at 92.9ESPN.com.
Pro football is back in the city of Memphis. Hall of Famer Mike Singletary leads the Memphis Express in its inaugural season in the Alliance of American Football. Experience 11-on-11 professional football like never before inside the Liberty Bowl Stadium. Single game and season tickets are on sale now. For as low as $20 per seat, you can be a part of bringing a football championship to the city. Visit AAF.com today to get on board with the Express. That's AAF.com.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right. Now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your Guy Smart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut. We cut the weight.
Hey, this is John Martin. You guys know sports is what I do. So if sports is what you do, too, I got the perfect spot for you to go to, and that's the Blue Monkey. It's a great place to catch whatever game happens to be on TV, and it's also a great spot for comfort food, like the hot wing rolls. It's a delicacy. They will not disappoint. Also, it's a fantastic burger spot. In addition to burgers, you got to try the Beef Eater. It's a thinly sliced, slow-roasted prime beef with melted Swiss on a Parmesan-crusted sourdough bun with tiger sauce. And the Prime Philly is from the same slow-roast prime rib Philly style with peppers, onions, and Swiss on a hoagie served with au jus. If you want something a little lighter, the Grilled Chicken Club is amazing. It's fully dressed with bacon, cheddar, and jack cheeses, lettuce, tomato, and honey mustard served on a sesame seed bun or croissant. Tons of options. They got two locations, 513 South Front Street downtown, 2012 Madison Avenue in Midtown. Visit BlueMonkeyMemphis.com.
Live team trivia and karaoke every Wednesday and Thursday night. Bring a team and win some green. Plus, live music Saturday night with Eric Hughes.
Hey, it's Trey Wingo. You're listening to 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis.
Coming up on Wednesday,
the NFL regular season may be over,
but that doesn't mean my power rankings are. Your weekly dose of a top five-ish
list.
Plus, he's a saint in Philadelphia, so could he be a savior for the Giants? Go look and Wingo Wednesday.
Weekday mornings from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m.
Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Become a 92.9 FM ESPN Locker Room Club member now. Sign up on our homepage at 92.9ESPN.com. Yeah, we're everywhere. Hit the site now, 92.9ESPN.com. Alexa, play 92.9 FM ESPN. Yes, we're everywhere. Golic, Wingo, Jeff, Jason, John, Eric, Gary. Alexa loves us. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Daily message rate supply national contest.
It's time for another new money in the new year of...